Sister Pillow said she'd ask Sister Laura to do another song.
Ever heard me sing before?
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the joy of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
And I'm happy to say that it is well with my soul. I was saved today, about too many years ago to count, but today's my spiritual birthday, so.
Thank you, Sister Laura. God bless you, and happy birthday. I want to again ask for your prayers as I try to bring before you the Word of God this morning. I want to call your attention to some scripture found in Matthew chapter 8. And I want to take up reading right after the Lord Jesus Christ had come down from delivering what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. Please turn and read along with me if you would. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And I want to stop reading there with verse 17. My thought today will be, come to Jesus trusting. Come to Jesus trusting. I want to again give the Lord thanks for the wonderful things that have happened to our church this week. And I'm thankful for the wonderful thing that took place that happened to the souls of some. I'm thankful for those who were saved this week. And I'm thankful for the gospel. I thank God for the gospel. The Bible says it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So I give God thanks for the gospel message. It has within it and contains the information that people need to know in order to be saved. And throughout this week, we have had some, and this was mentioned earlier in the Sunday school hour. I heard Brother Wheat at the beginning of his Sunday school lesson today. He mentioned the fact that we have had people this week that have knelt at the altar and they have been praying and seeking the Lord for the salvation of their soul that are still lost. And I want you to think about that for just a moment. And you that are here that are still lost today that have been doing that, I want you to think with me here for just a moment, because we have seen that transpire. We have seen that happen here this week. We have seen people kneeling here at the mourner's bench. We have seen people kneeling back at their seat perhaps, and they have been weeping. they have been, some of them have been shedding tears, and they have been crying, and they have been trembling, and they have been, praying to God, and they haven't yet been saved. But, even though that has happened, it has not changed at all what I believe, and it has not changed at all what I preach. And I still say today that those who will be saved have to come to Jesus trusting Him. And I know sometimes that when people begin to try to find salvation, I know that they begin oftentimes to try to figure things out in their mind. They try to reason things out and perhaps work things out with the Lord in that way. But I want you to know today that salvation, it's not a work of the carnal mind. It's not something that we find with our carnal mind. It's not something that can be figured out like a math problem can be solved. The Bible says that the carnal mind of man is enmity against God. It's not subject to the laws of God, and it cannot be subject to the laws of God. The Bible tells us that it's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. And listen, if you are saying this, and if this is the way that you are thinking, if you are trying to figure out how to do that, if you say, well, I don't, I know that people say that I've got to trust the Lord with my heart, but I can't figure out how to do that, then you're still trying to figure it all out in your mind. The Bible tells us that we must feel after God. And so I know this, that the Bible says that it is with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. And I'll stick with what the Bible says. It is with the very inner being of a person that they trust God to the point that they are saved. And we have example after example here in the Scriptures, and I have read some of them before you here this morning about the great benefit that people enjoyed and that people gained when they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting Him. And we read the example here in the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, concerning the leper that came to Jesus. And leprosy, and I also, those of you that were in Sunday school this morning up here, you heard Brother Wheat talking about leprosy. What a horrible disease that it actually is. It eats away at the body, and it can cause people to lose limbs, and it's just really a very, very nasty physical disease. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when He was here on the earth, He cleansed many lepers. And leprosy was something that was highly contagious, and whenever somebody had it, they were considered unclean, and they would have to keep themselves separated from the people. You may remember reading about a notable leper in the Old Testament by the name of Naaman. And the Bible talks about how that Naaman was a great soldier and all these things. And it says, but he was a leper. And so, he had to keep his distance from people. But there was a little maid that came and told him about the fact that there was a remedy for his leprosy. And let me tell you something today. You that are lost and in sin, you have the worst condition that anybody could ever imagine. I'm not going to make it sound any better than what it is. I want to tell you the truth about being lost and in sin. It's the worst condition that anybody could possibly be in. It's dangerous to live in this uncertain world, lost and without God. It's been well pointed out here this week that we all are going to die and that we don't know when that's going to come. We know that the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And we know that whatever spiritual state you're in, whatever your spiritual condition is, listen to me today and believe the word of God. Whatever spiritual condition you are in when death closes your eyes, friends, that's the condition that you're going to stay in for all of eternity. There's not going to be any changes after that. If the tree falls toward the north or toward the south, the place wherein the tree falls, that's where it's going to lay. And there's not going to be any opportunity after that for people to be saved. Listen, sometimes people realize that they're lost and they're without God, and sometimes they take it far too lightly. I'm going to tell you something today. Being lost and separated from God is a serious condition, and it's one that requires, if you want to seek the welfare of your soul, your lost condition requires that you make haste to the Lord and that you seek Him until you find Him. I'm telling you today, come to Jesus, trusting. You can say, well, preacher, you know, this week I've been here in revival services. I have been here night after night in these revival services. But let me tell you something. You've never heard me say that you will get saved because you come to revival services. I've never preached that, and I don't preach that. Is it good to come to revival services? Yes, it's good to come and hear the gospel, but just coming to a revival service or just coming to any worship service, just coming to a church service won't save you. You can say, well, you know, preacher, this week when Brother Moran has preached and you preached, and at the end of the sermon you gave an invitation, you can say, I came up here and I knelt at this mourner's bench. But let me remind you of this. You've never heard me say in the years that I have served here as your pastor and preached the gospel to you, you've never heard me say that you'll be saved by coming to a mourner's bench. I don't believe that. And I don't preach that. I believe the mourner's bench is just exactly what Brother Moran explained it to me a couple of nights ago. It's a good, convenient place to pray. And that's all that it is. It's a piece of wood, and it has no saving power and no virtue in it. Listen, if you don't ever do any more than come to a mourner's bench, you're going to split hell wide open. You're going to die lost and in your sins. The invitation given in the scripture and the invitation given through this church, listen, this church, I know this. This church hasn't taught anybody that they're guaranteed to be saved if they'll come and kneel at a mourner's bench. I'm going to tell you the only way that anybody ever gets saved, whether it's kneeling in a church service on a mourner's bench, or whether it's kneeling by your bed, or whether it's sitting in a car, or wherever that it takes place, the only way that anybody ever finds eternal life is by coming to Jesus and trusting Him. That's who I invite you to. You know, I offer to you the opportunity to kneel at the mourner's bench, to kneel where you're at, to sit where you're at, to do whatever you need to do, but you're going to get saved if you come to Jesus trusting Him. I've told you many times, I didn't get saved at church. I didn't get saved in a worship service. The Lord saved my soul in my bedroom in a little apartment that I lived in. I've heard many different testimonies of people here in the years that I've pastored of some. You know, we had people the other night come and stand, you know, near the spot where they were saved, and there were quite a few that came up here and stood. There have been quite a few people through the years that have been saved here in this dedicated house of worship. There have been people that have saved here on the been saved on the mourner's bench. I've heard a lot of testimonies from people who are members of the church here that were saved somewhere other than church. It's wherever you come to Jesus and trust Him with all of your heart. I guess that in a lot of ways, conversion is offered to people. I guess you'd have to be in a certain place. Because, you know, there are people that believe you get saved from being baptized. So I guess you'd have to be at water somewhere to get saved. If that's the case, you'd either have to be at church where they had a baptistry, or you'd have to be somewhere where they had a creek or something, but you would have to be in a location where there's water if that were true. But I'm going to tell you again today, that's not true. Salvation, or baptism rather, is not one of God's conditions for salvation. The conditions that God has laid down in the Scriptures is that we repent of our sins and we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we place our trust in Him for the salvation of our soul. And then when the Lord is gracious enough to save us, then yes, we ought to be obedient enough to unite with His church and receive scriptural baptism. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have it when you go in the water, you're not going to get it from going in the water. It don't work that way. And I'll stand on that. I don't care who disagrees with it. I'd rather stick with the Word of God. People get saved when they come to Jesus, trusting Him. Sinner, that's the only way that you're going to get it. And I'm going to tell you this today, and I don't mean to discourage you one bit. In fact, I want to encourage you, those of you again, that throughout these meetings, these services this week, those of you that have been here at the mourner's bench, those of you that have been back in the house, those of you that have been praying, those of you that have been seeking, listen, I want to encourage you to keep seeking the Lord, because there's great promises that the Scriptures make to the seeker. But if you have any question in your mind, I don't want you to be confused at all. If you're wondering within yourself, if you're saying, well, you know, what about that? You know, what about the fact that I've been praying all week? What about the fact that I've been kneeling at the mourner's bench all week and I'm still not saved? Let me tell you something, friends. I want to be honest with you. I want you to understand this so you won't be confused. You have not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. If you would have, you would be saved. Everybody that comes to Jesus, trusting Him, He doesn't turn one away. Not one. These people, and listen, even for those of us who are saved, if we're turning to Jesus for something in our life, if we're seeking the Lord, you know, because we're ill and we're seeking Him for His healing, if we're seeking Him because, you know, we're down and out, if we're seeking the Lord because, you know, we need employment or something like that, or some specific need in our life, even those that have been saved by God's grace, when we turn to the Lord Jesus for something, if we don't put our total trust in Him to grant us our request, we're not going to get it. Jesus answers the prayers of those that totally trust Him when they call upon Him. You remember reading about Jesus during his ministry, going back to his hometown of Nazareth? And the Bible says he didn't do many miracles there because of their unbelief. If you say, well, you know, Lord, I'm coming to you, but I really don't believe you're going to do anything, that's exactly what he'll do, nothing for you. But those that come trusting him. The leper was cleansed because he trusted Jesus. The centurion had his prayer answered concerning his servant because he trusted in Jesus. The blind men in Matthew 20 received their sight because they trusted in Jesus. The palsied man in Matthew 9 the four picked up and carried there to Jesus and let him down through the roof, he was not only able to physically walk, but he was forgiven of his sins because of faith in Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 years that had been to all of the physicians and spent all of her money and wasn't better, she was finally healed because she came and she trusted in the Lord Jesus. And you can have salvation today. Lost friend, I will make you a guarantee. I guarantee you by the word of God that you can be saved today if you will put your trust in the Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, the very moment that the heart fully trusts him, he doesn't make you wait 1 second longer. He will save you the instant that that happens. I want to read to you again what the centurion did. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him, and listen, this man didn't casually approach Jesus. He didn't come to him and he said, Lord, you know, I've got a problem that I thought maybe you could help me with. He didn't approach him casually at all. The Bible says he came to Jesus beseeching him. I'll tell you, this man was begging Jesus. That's what he was doing. He was begging the Lord for his help. Came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said unto him, I'll come and heal him. I'll tell you what, if you'll come to Jesus trusting him, I mean really trusting him, he'll come to you. He'll come and he'll grant you healing. He'll come and he'll grant you salvation. We've heard testimonies of people throughout the revival this week that sought after the Lord for a long time before they found him. But you know what happened when they found him? You know what happened when they got saved? That was that one instance where they truly trusted him, where they truly put their faith in him, and they were saved. Jesus said, whatsoever things you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. I don't feel like I need to say anything else. Jesus is the way, and he's the truth, and he's the life. And he's able to save to the uttermost those that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them, but you've got to come to Him trusting Him. Wherever that you choose to do that, if it's to kneel at the altar, if it's to sit in your seat, wherever that it happens, you've got to come to the Lord, trusting Him fully, and He'll save you. He will save you from your sins. While we have a song,